November 18, 2008.
Well, how exciting was it here today?
What do you mean?
The building.
Oh. You know, my friend called me from Brooklyn to ask me, what's the man on fire today?
I don't know how to... I said email.
Too many policemen and firemen for it to be really exciting. There's like 30 official-looking guys.
Was it a bit like shooting flames? Building?
Yeah, actually, it was. They were coming out the windows a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't in glass. Just one fire on fire.
Does anybody live there now? Does anybody live there?
Yeah?
Where did they say it came from?
I heard there was possibly like an electrical fire heater.
They think it was a space heater.
Okay, I have a long story to read you.
Really? Can you stay
for this? No, not necessarily. This is the story of Rabbi Yosef Zeller Reina. Okay? We met this last night, right? Rabbi Yosef Zeller Reina lived in Tzfat and wanted to bring the redemption. Says he lived in 1418 to 1472, just before the Arizal. One day he took five of his most loyal students whom were very knowledgeable in Kabbalah and did anything he requested. He told them, "I am resolved to use the secrets of the Torah to remove all impurities from this world, bring the redemption and Mashiach who will release us from our oppressors." They all replied that they are ready to do anything their teacher commands them to do. He told them, if so, you shall do the following. Cleanse yourselves, change your garments, and for the next 3 days do not go near any woman. And only you prepare provisions and food, no other person. On the third day we will go to the fields and not return home until Am Yisrael are settled, each on his farm in the Holy Land. The disciples quickly got up and did as their teacher instructed. On the third day they came to the Beit Medrash and saw their Rav with his head buried between his knees. He lifted his head and said, "May it be God's will that the Divine Spirit inspire the work of our hands, and Hashem will aid us so we can glorify his name." We all answered, "Amen." Rabbi Joseph Delarina took all sorts of spices and placed a scribe sefer, I'm not sure what that means, in his belt. They went to Meron, to the kever of Rabbi Yochanan Bar Yochai, Zatzal, and learned the whole night there. When Rabbi Joseph Delarina dozed off, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai came to him through a dream and asked him, "Why are you getting yourself into such a difficult task, which you will not be able to carry out?" Rabbi Yosef Delarina answered him that Hashem knows his intentions are pure, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai blessed him to succeed. The following morning they went to Tveria, to the open field. They fasted all day and were occupied with doing yichudim, holy formulas it says here, and they did not look at any animals or people, only above at the birds. They dunked in the mikveh of the lake in Tveria 26 consecutive times, the numeric gematria of Yurkei Vavkei. Each time they would dunk, they concentrated on the holy formula of Hashem's holy name. They did this consecutively for 3 days and three nights while fasting. They did not eat anything. No animals, no fish, no drinking, nothing. Evening was approaching. Rabbi Yosef Delarina's students were praying mincha with devotions and concentration, closing their eyes. When they got to the part Shema Kolenu, hear our voices, they added, "Answer us." Wherever they said Hashem's holy name, they concentrated, saying with the holy formula of Hashem's holy name of 42 letters. You know, that's in the Ana B'Koach. By the power of their holy formula of prayer, he adjured Eliyahu HaNavi Zohar HaTov to appear. Right away, Eliyahu HaNavi appeared and asked them what was so urgent that they used special formula in their prayers to call him. They all bowed down to Eliyahu HaNavi, and Rabbi Yosef Delarina said, I'm zealous for the honor of the great Hashem, blessed and holy one. Show me how to subdue the Satan and strengthen the holiness, the Sitra Kedusha." Eliyahu HaNavi answered him, "Know this, what you are planning to do is very difficult and will not succeed. The klipos of the sins and transgressions are very strong and will not be able to subdue the Satan. You must increase in Kedusha and continue fasting and dunking in the mikvah. Otherwise you will fail and the Satan will damage and harm you. Know that your intentions are welcome if you succeed. But my advice to you is to stop right now because you will not be able to overpower the Sitra Akhla." That's pretty ambiguous message there. Rabbi Yosef Zamir said, "Please, Master, do not discourage me. I took an oath that I will not return home till I raise the Holy Divine Spirit from the dust." When Eliyahu HaNavi heard this, he said, "You and your disciples need to go out into the field for 21 days. Must be in a location that was never inhabited. Do not eat, only enough to survive. Accustoming ourselves to minimal portions of food in every evening, reduce the portion. Accustoming ourselves to smelling the spices in order to clear your mind, so you'll be able to speak to the heavenly angels whom you will bring down to speak to with you. In addition, immerse yourself 21 times daily. Numerical value of Aleph Hey Yud Hey, one of the names of Hashem. After 21 days, 21 is of course half of 42, right? After 21 days, fast for 3 days and nights. On the third day after the afternoon prayers, do Yichudim of the holy formula of Hashem's name of 42 letters, as you know how to do, while you are wrapped in talus and filling your faces covered. Thus do the holy Yichudim, some of the angels sound Alphonin with his army to appear. When they come, revive yourselves with the smelling spices, because you will be weak and tremble from their mighty fire. Throw yourselves on the ground and welcome him. Request from the angels to strengthen you. Immediately the angel will inquire why you called upon him and what is your doing. When he will speak to you from the greatness of his voice, your neshamos will exit your body. You have no strength to reply from so much fear and weakness. Beg the angels to strengthen you and help you have the power of speech. The angel will tell you what you should do. He prevents the saints from entering holy places, and he knows the spots where one can gather his strength. You guys want to go on?
Yeah.
What is this, though?
This is the story of Rabbi Yosef Del Arena. I told you about it last night. The one guy wants to bring Mashiach.
It is?
No, obviously not.
Isn't there like one guy in every generation almost?
No. As soon as Eliyahu HaNavi left, Rabbi Yosef Del Arena did his gather students and did all Eliyahu HaNavi instructed. They and I to follow the Yohanavi's instructions without fail. They disconnected from the physical needs of this world and are only occupied with the Merkava, the esoteric secret. When it was time for Mincha the third day, after the 21 days, Rabbi Yosef Del Arena and his students covered themselves in tefillin and talis, including their heads, and prayed with total devotion. Wherever Yudke Bavke was said, they concentrated the holy name of the holy formula of Hashem's holy name. I'm not sure whether they actually said Yudke Bavke or not. When they finished the prayer, they fell on their faces covered in talus and rise up on their feet to say the vidui on their sins and the sins of Am Yisrael. After their vidui, they raised their voice to Shemayim with all the human strength they possessed and said, they said, answer us, Elokei Amerkava, answer us. They did more Yichudim of the 42 letters of Hashem's holy name, as Eliyahu HaNavi instructed them, and no sooner did they finish Yichudim, the angel Samnophon came, together with his army, on fiery chariots and fiery horses, while flaming fires filled the whole countryside. The Rav and the students shook and trembled and fell to the ground, while their hearts melted with fear. They were left without breath within them. They smelled the spices they were holding in their hands, and the breath of life returned to them, but they were trembling and very weak and could not speak. The angel said to him, what is it you want, worms that you are? Who gave you the audacity to shake the upper and lower worlds? Have self-respect and return home, unless we burn you with our breath. Rabbi Yosef Del Arena answered in a low, trembling voice, holy angel of God, what can your servant say in your holy presence? I am left without breath as a dead man, so great is my fear and awe. When the angel heard this, he touched him and said, get up and speak, for I have given you back your strength. Indeed, Rabbi Yosef Del Arena felt stronger, bowed down to the ground, and removed his shoes. His students were still on the ground and were unable to rise. Peace unto you, angel of Hashem, and peace unto your holy forces, said the Rav. I beg you to return my strength and courage to perform my will. It is not for me that my will to make Hashem's name great. Something missing here. But anyway, if I do this for the sake of Elohim, the King of all kings, please I entreat you, Holy One, with holy forces to agree to help me wage war and wipe out the Amaleks. Instruct me what I must do to remove the rule of wickedness from the earth. And the angel heard and said, your words and actions are proper, and God be with you. All of us, the angels, Sruphim, Arelim, the holy campus of angels, walk in anticipation to revenge God Hashem's great honor. But know this, everything you have done till now is nothing. Because who can overcome the great powers of the Satan and his forces? If you know the high powers the Satan and his forces reach, you would not attempt to do this. For who can prevail against him except the Holy One blessed himself until the time comes to fulfill his word? I have come now in respect to the great name you have pronounced. But what can I do for you? I am unable to learn the great strength of the Satan, and what his rise and fall depends upon. None know this except the great angels, the name here. We don't pronounce angels' names unless we they're usually used in this world. So I'm going to skip it. And his hosts and the matat, the prince of the presence, with his hosts. Yet you can stand in front of such, yet who could stand in front of such mighty angels? If you were flying to me, how will you be able to even exist in their great presence? The truth is, if you can accomplish this great task of wiping out the sultan, your reward will be great, and no one can stand, not one can stand next to your holiness. Rabbi Yosef Delamain answered, I am young and unworthy, for who am I that I can stand in front of the angels? But my heart is broken, willing to sacrifice myself for the holy and blessed one, for the holy divine spirit. Therefore it struck me how to bring down the great angel who's mentioned here, and with it's spelled A-C-H-T-I-E-L, with his host and M-E-T-A-T-R-O-N, he's the head angel, the prince of the presence with his host. Instruct me how to increase holiness and add sanctity and purity, and what holy name to use to conjure the holy angel. The angel, even this name we shouldn't really pronounce, S-A-N-D-L-A-P-H-O-N, spoke again and said, hear my words and Hashem be with you. Continue for 40 days the immersion, fast, and purification of thoughts. Do not stray for holy thoughts for a split second. 40 days.
Huh?
40 days of holy thoughts. Not to stray for even a split second.
What?
It's impossible for us. We can't even imagine this, right?
Even a shadow
is impossible. Yeah, this is, yeah. Isn't that it's so depressing how far we've fallen from being actual human? Okay. We're subhuman, you know that? Yeah, we're below human. So us about Hashem redemption. No.
Yeah.
Our whole generation is mired in muck. Yes.
Maybe when you think about how much, let's say you think about how much you are grateful about the taste of the coffee you have, and you think how impressive it is in terms of
40 days. Good luck.
No, I mean, you actually...
Yeah, no, look, is it possible? It's certainly possible. Can we imagine ourselves doing it? Not for a moment.
No, but I mean, you just make everyone depressing. Where it's really possible to be, I mean, not really all the time, but...
We should be besimcha because 500 years ago people could do this. Okay, you might be right, but that's what you're saying. Okay? One person does this?
Yeah.
No. The famous story from the Baal Shem Tov, I think it's Baal Shem Tov, somebody once came to him and said, he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, then it was supposed to, Eliyahu Navi is supposed to come to you if you fast for 40 days. I don't know, that wasn't 40 nights, whatever it was, 40 days.
Aren't you dead by now?
And Eliyahu, he's been fasting night, and Eliyahu hasn't shown up. So the Baal Shem Tov said, I'll tell you a story. Once upon a time, I was on a trip, and I had to go somewhere, and I went. Had to go very quickly. So my horses started galloping, and whatever the case was, there was a certain miraculous influence, and they didn't have to eat. So they didn't have to stop to rest. So the angel, the horses began to think after a while, you know, we must not be horses anymore. Because if we were horses, we would have to stop. So we must be men. After a while, they thought, you know, we must not be men, because even if it's men, we'd have to stop. After a little bit longer, they thought, you know, we must not be men. We must be angels, right? Because at this point, even men would have to stop. Until finally, they got to the location where they were going, and when they were brought to the trough and to the feed, they fell upon it like horses, and they realized, no, we have remained horses. So the same thing, a person can fast for 40 days, but a horse remains a horse. So, if we fasted for 40 days, we just remain horses for after the end of those 40 days.
No, I'm saying, wouldn't we be dead by then?
What?
We should be dead.
No, if you just fast during the day and not at night.
Oh, that's not.
And they didn't fast at night. No.
But they are, okay, so what's the grand prize for having 40 days to keep yourself?
What?
What's the grand prize
for that?
Ramadan.
lots of good stuff, obviously. Try it out, see what happens.
No, I mean,
okay, we have to continue the story.
I got my
results. Continue for 40 days, immersion and fast, and purification of thought. Do not stray from holy thoughts for a split second. Decrease the portion of food till your body will need very little to survive. Continue smelling the spices, because this is the most vital to give strength in the neshama. After 40 days, pronounce the holy there's a couple of lines missing here, I guess, when I printed out, I lost a couple of lines. The holy name, and then says here that the angels' forces went heavenward. The stools were still laying on the ground, covered in pallets and trembling in fear. When the angel left, they got up and the rod said, "Quickly, my son, strengthen yourself." We must quickly do as the angel instructed us. They replied, "We are ready. How fortunate is our share that we are able to hear the great angel. Whatever you instruct us, our rabbi and the teacher and rebbe, we will do." The rest of the field went to the desert, near a mountain by Meron, and sat in a cave, and did as they were instructed by the angel for 40 days. I think this cave, there's like a little sign in it. In other words, people think they know where this cave is. They missed nothing from the instructions and completely disconnected themselves from the world. The 40 days completed, they went out to the wilderness by a place near the source of Nachal Kishon, which goes down by Haifa, where they bathed for 40 days. They prepared themselves for the great afternoon prayer of Mincha. They marked the circle on the ground and entered inside it while linking hands together and formed the circle. They pronounced the great name of Hashem of the 72 letters. And it's really not 72 letters, it's 72 times 3 letters. And called upon the angel A-C-H-T-I-E-L with his host, and M-E-T-A-T-R-O-N, Prince of the Presence, with his host. When they pronounced the great name, the earth shook and there was lightning and thunder. The heavens opened and the angel A-C-H-T-I-E-L with his host, and Matat, the Prince of the Presence, came down. The Rav and students kept their hands linked together and all fell to the ground and did not let go of one another. As soon as these angels, together with their camps, came down to earth, they began to speak in great fury. Who and where is the one who dared to use the royal scepter? When Rabbi Yosef Delarina saw this great vision, he felt as though he was slumbering with his face down. He and his students were completely exhausted. But the angel Matat touched him and said, "Speak up! Answer, you foul odor drop of sperm! What is this great alarm that you brought us down?" The Rav was unable to answer, and the angel Matat touched him again. He faintly whispered, "What can this worthless slave say in the presence of the pure and holy Malachim? Please strengthen me so I can have permission to speak, because I am like a still rock, and my neshama flew outside of me." I'm not sure. The angel, A-C-H-T-I-L, stretched out his hand and touched him and said, "I have strengthened you, speak." Rabbi Rain opened his mouth and said, "Hashem Almighty knows that I did not do this in deceit, but rather to honor the Great One, blessed be He. Ministering angels, by the great powerful name of the Holy One, instruct me the strength of the Satan, where it can be found. What must I do to bring him down?" The angels answered him, "Your request is very difficult. If you knew the strength he gains from the sins of Am Yisrael, and not one is mightier than him, you would not attempt to do this. None can bring him down from his nest amid the stars, and his seat is surrounded by 3 barriers. You cannot prevail against him. Only holy and blessed one himself can do this when the time comes." Rabbi Yosef begged, "I have already risked my soul for the holy one and blessed one. I trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he will help me succeed. Please instruct me, tell me what to do." And the angels replied, "Listen, Yosef, your will is appreciated, but the time has not yet arrived. And has already been decreed, you will not stir up nor awaken the love. So it's the right time. Shir Hashem. In view of your will and wisdom and knowledge of hidden secrets that HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted you, we are compelled to tell and instruct you which way to go." With this, the angel Ach began, "On one side facing me, the Satan has 2 powerful barriers. One is an iron wall which rises from earth to heaven, and the other is a great barrier of ocean. The angel Matat told him that on his side, facing the Satan, is a barrier consisting of mighty snow mountains, whose summit reaches the skies. They told him, listen carefully and pay close attention, in order to eliminate the 3 barriers and bring them down, this is what you must do. When you leave here, go to Mount Seir." That's like in Jordan. "We will arrive at Mount Seir before you, on top. Whatever operation you do on the bottom of Mount Seir, we'll perform the same on the top. When you go to Mount Seir, continue to be as holy as you are now. Your souls have risen to a great height, and you have almost attained the position of angels. You have forgotten the ways of the physical world. Along the way, you will encounter a large horde of black dogs. Know that the Satan is sending them to confuse you. Have no fear and pronounce the whole name of the Holy Hashem that contains 52 letters, the numerical value of Kelev, dog. Concentrate on the holy name, and the dogs will flee away from you. From there, climb on top of the mountain. You will find a great mass of snow up to the skies. concentrate on the hidden secrets of the pasuk. The verse, have you entered the treasuries of snow, and the mountain will be removed from its place. After that, concentrate on the verse, it snows in Salmon, and the mountain will vanish. Continue with this concentration until you reach the barrier of the ocean, whose waves reach the sky. Pronounce the verse from Tehillim, ascribe to Hashem, O you sons of the mighty, and the ocean will dry up, and you will be able to cross it on dry land. Go forward, and you will see a wall that reaches from earth to sky. Take a knife in your hand, and inscribe upon it, Cherev Hashem Uli Gidon. Well, this is Hashkacha Pratis, because we're learning about Gidon now in Navi. So this is what it said when they raised the battle against, Gidon raised the battle against Moab, so they shouted this. Sword for Hashem and for Gidon. And with the knife, cut into the iron and make an opening and enter through it. Make sure not to close the opening until all Jews pass safely through the opening. After passing through the opening, it will close. After that, go forward to reach Mount Seir. At that time, you will fling the Satan from his seat, and he will be entrusted into your hands. And then let the holy name be prepared, written, and engraved by you on a plate of lead. Prepare another plate of lead, engrave on it the verse from Zechariah. Vayomer Zos HaRisha, and he said, this is the wicked one, Vayishlech Oso El Toch HaYifa, and he threw her into the box, Vayishlech Es Eben Oferes El Toch Pia, and he threw the lead stone into her mouth. After this, you will be able to go wherever you desire, Mount Seir. You'll find the wicked Satan and Lilith.
Where?
In the forms of black dogs, a male and a female. Do not be afraid. On the male, set the engraved plate with the holy name. I thought we already got rid of him. I'm not sure it's going on him. You'll set the engraved plate with the holy name and set the other plate on the female. Put a rope around the male and female with the plates attached, and they will follow you with their camp. Then Hashem's desire will be achieved by you, and you will bring the Satan and Lilith to judgment on Mount Seir. There will be a great sound of the shofar, and Mashiach will appear and will purify the earth from all its impurities. The only one, a blessed one, will slaughter the spirit of impurity, all the righteous will be present. Then there will be the great redemption. I'm surprised somebody made a movie out of this. We don't know for sure. Be very careful, do all that we instructed you, and if you successfully do this, how great is your portion? Don't lose concentration on this for a split second, and be very careful when you rope the dogs, the Satan and Lilith, and don't listen to them. They will cry and plead from you to give them food and drink, but don't listen to them, and don't give them anything. Don't believe them, pay no attention to them. May Hashem protect and guide you. With that, the Malachim flew heavenward. When the angels descended, Rabbi Yosef rose. His students who were still on the ground were unable to rise until the Malachim left. They were overjoyed and excited and quickly prepared everything Malachim told them and walked towards Mount Seir. On the way, they saw a horde of vicious black dogs coming towards them. They did as they were instructed, and the dogs scattered and disappeared. After this, they encountered a great mountain of snow and did what they were instructed to do, and the mountain shifted. Then they said the other holy formula combination, and the mountain completely vanished. They walked on for two more days. On the third day, they saw a great ocean, and its waves reached the sky. As soon as they said the holy formula combination, the ocean dried, and they walked through it on dry land. When they reached the wall that reached from earth to heaven, Rabbi Yosef took the knife that the holy name was engraved on it and sliced the iron wall for an opening. The width of the iron wall was 8 centimeters thick. I guess that's foreheads both, 4 finger breadth. When the last of students passed through, Rabbi Yosef let go of the opening. But the last student was slow, and his leg got caught. Rabbi Yosef took out a knife and sliced the iron wall around the student's leg, and he passed through. They climbed Mount Seir to its summit. They first saw a bunch of, it says that when they found the crater, were ruins, they heard dogs barking. They entered one of the ruins and saw two gigantic black dogs, a male and a female. When they approached the dogs jumped on them to swallow them. But Rabbi Yosef had the engraved plate in his hand, and with his right hand, after placing the plate, put the rope around the dog's neck with their plates attached to it. As soon as the rope was tied around them, they removed their shapes of the dogs and put on their own shapes, which was humankind, except their wings, which were full of eyes like flames. They begged for food or drink, but Rabbi Yosef did it as was instructed and paid no attention to their pleas. with tremendous happiness, they walk towards Mount Seir with the Satan and Lilith behind them, tied in a rope, crying. Rabbi Yosef was overjoyed and said, "Who would have thought I would have succeeded in capturing the Satan?" The Satan replied, "Indeed, we are in your hands, and you could do whatever you desire. Give us something to eat or drink, because otherwise we'll never make it to Mount Seir." But Rabbi Yosef refused to give anything as was instructed. As they approached Mount Seir, Rabbi Yosef took out the spices to smell it. And the Satan told him, "If you won't give us food or drink, at least give us to sniff the spices." And Rabbi Yosef handed them a bit of spice. And at that moment, the Satan blew a spark of fire from his mouth and burned the incense, including the spice, from Rabbi Yosef's pocket. The vapor entered the Satan's nostrils and snapped off the rope from his neck and flung the great plate from him and began striking Rabbi Yosef and his students. Two of the students immediately died upon hearing the Satan's roar, while the other two students lost their minds. Now, again, there's a line missing here, but basically what he said to him is that he just gave a korban, he brought ketores to the Satan, because he gave the Satan the spices to smell. And said, "Woe to you, Neshama, that you did not do your command. You engaged in idolatry and offered the incense to Satan, and now he will pursue out of this world and out of the next world." Yosef and his remaining student buried the two dead students and afterwards rested. The demon possessed the other two students, and they perished, the ones who were going crazy, and great suffering that the demon inflicted upon them. After this, Yosef went to the city of Sidon, in Lebanon, where he settled. His ways turned very evil. He saw that he had not succeeded, and since he heard from the divine voice, I guess it wasn't Satan who told him this, the divine voice told him that he lost this world and the world to come, he made a covenant with the malicious Lilith, and handed himself to her, and she became his wife. He polluted every way possible, and he used the holy name of Kadosh Baruch Hu to do evil. Every night he would conjure spirits and devils to fetch him his heart's desire. He continued his evil ways and had more women than possible, until the wife of the Greek king. He had her brought to him every night, and in the morning he would give orders to return her. One day the queen told her husband, "Every night I dream that I'm in a certain place, and a man sleeps with me, but find myself in the morning in my bed." When the king heard this, he summoned the magicians and placed them on guard at the queen's home. That night the demons came at the order of Yosef to take the queen and the guards, and the guards noticed them at once. They forced the demons to tell them why they came here nightly to take the queen. And the demons answered, they were ordered by Yosef from the city of Sidon. When the king heard this, he sent a certain minister to the city of Sidon with gifts to the lords of Sidon, asking that Yosef be sent them alive immediately. When Yosef realized that his deeds were known to the king, even before the minister arrived in Sidon, he threw himself into the ocean and died.
Wow.
"As for me, the fifth student," I guess he was the one who wrote this, "I was left alone and sick on my sick bed all my life. There is no remedy for my ailments, nor do I have any reprieve from the demons. I have written this tale as a memorial. And I copied this tale from old letters that I found in Tzfat and wrote the story as a warning. No one should attempt to bring the redemption before it's fine. We should do tshuva, and Hashem will send the final redemption and his Mashiach through our merits. Amen, can you hear ourselves?" Now, no, but but there was a Yosef de la Reina. Where the story is, I don't believe that the story is true. I think it's greatly embellished. But there was such a person, and he tried to bring Mashiach and failed. That we know. What? Yeah, he says here. You know, the one of the Kabbalists on the web. There's a lot of Kabbalists on the web. You know, so the one of them is Rabbi Ariel Bar Tzadok. He has a website, and he on his website has a 50-page commentary on this story. So on the website where I got this from, which is dreamingofmashiach.blogspot.com, it's Rabbi Tzadok wrote the following in a note. Now this is, I'm just going to read it to you, okay? "Certain knowledge, however interesting and enticing, is best not to be made public. As you can imagine, if I publish how Rabbi Yosef offered the incense and how the Satan came to him in the form of a dog, many will try to copy this. It has already happened before in New York, not too long ago. Remember the son of Sam Killer? Anybody remember him? Berkowitz. Well, David Berkowitz.
Who is that?
A guy went early 70s. Guy went around killing women.
He killed everyone and
They caught him with a parking ticket.
That's right. He knew too much about demonology and demonic sacrifice. I read the statements in the newspapers at the time. He knew information that was not written in any books. So.
One second, what are you doing?
I don't know. He killed people.
A dog told him to kill people.
Yeah. Is there a dog that told him? Yeah.
A dog?
I think
dog
you're right.
One second, Rabbi.
What?
He was
yeah.
1 second.
He was just insane.
Yes.
If he failed, then he didn't have a chance at all.
What?
If he failed, then he didn't have a chance at all.
He failed because he was trying to force Hashem to bring Mashiach.
So, good, no?
Is that good?
Yeah, why not?
No, it's not good.
He was almost there. Well,
yeah, almost doesn't count. Right?
So maybe the Zionists
are
right in saying that
Zionists are not trying to bring Mashiach by
trying to get the
same thing. But yeah, that's their time. That's what they claim. That's exactly what they claim.
Do they say it? I thought
the Zuei Gaza?
No, the Zionists.
No, of course the Zionists don't say it. They don't believe in Mashiach.
Right. No, but the
important thing
to get
them out of
the
call,
maybe before the time.
Right, that's one of their claims.
So
you're right, it's very hard to claim that.
So how do you differentiate between them and
the because they didn't force, they're not forcing Hashem to give them out of the call. Hashem gave them out of the call.
No, they made the war.
What do you mean they made war? They got the Balfour Declaration, they got the mandate, they got the UN to vote. There's a whole bunch of things which are done.
That's
not rational. It's not a rational position.
We were attacked in
the Zuei Gaza, this is not rational.
Alright, but how about the lovely war? Even
what?
He constantly had under attack, right?
Mm-hmm.
He had to defend himself by attacking other people.
So?
So, also forcing Hashem to...
It says
he was,
but when they came there the first time around, Hashem said he has to war against all the nations around you.
Yeah, but why though? Why is that?
Because we have to eradicate evil.
By killing anybody?
By killing the wicked ones who won't accept upon themselves the seven mitzvahs of Noach.
It's fun, don't
worry. So, Rabbi, do the Zionists avoid the Mashiach?
What?
Do the Zionists avoid the Mashiach?
It's secular Zionists, yeah.
The religious ones.
Yes, they do.
Another question.
Obviously. Religious.
Another question.
No, it doesn't necessarily mean they're Jewish.
Yes.
They're Jewish.
Is it possible to ascend Mount Sinai right now?
We don't know why Mount Sinai
was.
Okay,
what if I go to Iran and see what people do?
What?
If I go to Iran and see what people do, I try to see. The place have a few more kedusha, maybe that's the place.
Go ahead, try.
No, I mean, is that going to help?
No, it won't help at all.
Why not?
What's the difference? Mount Sinai has no kedusha.
This kedusha Torah doesn't
have any kedusha.
Why not?
The chutzpah has no kedusha.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, a desert.
What?
Desert is holy, huh?
No, desert is not holy.
Why not?
Because it's not part of Israel.
40 years.
That's right. 40 years it had some holiness. Now it's gone.
That's sad.
Is this that mountain that has rocks that you can break and there's a picture of a burning bush?
That's the least likely candidate to be Mount Sinai.
Why?
Because it doesn't fit in well with the description of the travels of the Jewish people. That's what's it called? Mount Katrina, I forget what it's called.
Don't they say the rocks? I mean, I've seen pictures of the rocks that when you break them in half. I've seen the rocks.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
What?
There's a better candidate.
No matter which way you break it,
there's a better candidate. There's a better candidate for Har Sinai in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is a very good candidate for Har Sinai.
Who couldn't be there?
Yeah, they found inscriptions on the on an altar at the base of the mountain of calves.
So maybe that's
that is pretty
cool, right?
Maybe that's why they are blessed with so much like prosperity.
Yeah. According to this theory, there's a movie coming out. There is already one movie about this put out by the Christian archaeologist, the Exodus Revealed, and they're putting out another one called The Exodus Conspiracy.
Can we see it?
It's kind of boring.
Oh, yeah?
You're like, yeah, I mean, I tried to turn an MCA and they didn't.
What's
MCA? The high school I teach.
Oh.
YU's high school. It stands for Manhattan Talmudical Academy.
I thought MCA transportation.
So that's true. So in any event, but the new movie I think is going to be very exciting. And they actually found chariot wheels under not the Red Sea, which is on the west side of Sinai, but under, I forget what it's called, the other body of water, which is on the east side of the Sinai. What's that called? Between The Gulf of something or other.
Gulf of
Persia? Gulf of Suez? Oh, no, so maybe that's the Adam. No, not, can't be the Gulf of Suez, because it's on the other side. What's the city which is next to Iraq? Aqaba, is that the city in Jordan?
No,
it's opposite Iraq.
Not
Petra,
Aqaba.
No, it's Aqaba? So it's called the Gulf of Aqaba. So underneath the water there, they have found chariot wheels.
Yeah, they found 40 of them.
40 of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, 40 chariot wheels.
Wow.
So that's pretty strong indication of that being clear.
No, but
and if that's the case, in fact, then Mount Sinai is not in what's called the Sinai Desert, but in Saudi Arabia. Because that's where they crossed over.
I
how does it fit in with the whole... I mean, I saw like a map based on the Sukkim that shows that,
the maps look very authoritative because they're maps. And they're usually in multicolored maps.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all meaningless because nobody knows what they're talking about.
But doesn't the book of Sukkim say that when we came right out of Egypt, we went eastward when we came to...
It doesn't record how we went. On the contrary, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was a shepherd in Midgard with Yisro's sheep, he grazed his sheep at Mount Sinai. Right?
Yeah.
Midgard is in the area where Eilat is today. That area. So therefore, reason dictates it's in that area, not on the other side of Sinai where today
Sinai Desert is really in the summer.
Right.
I want to see a debate between one of the Israeli archaeologists and against the Christian archaeologists.
Yeah.
It would just be like a lot of them.
Each of them have access to grinds. Each of them have negias. The Israeli archaeologists don't want there to be, usually they're not for them. The Christian archaeologists usually are for them. So that's a very big difference.
Why Christians fight for like Sodom? Because they basically...
It's because their religion is built on our religion.
They don't think that Judaism is like something, they're something to not scare them by endorsing the thought that they,
No. The Catholics are conservative. The Catholics are very anti-Bible. The Catholics do not teach the Bible.
Well, they teach?
Because they're afraid. If people learn the Bible, they'll have all sorts of doubts.
It used to be on their bandwidth of books when they used to like burn books. They used to ban the Bible.
They ban the Bible? Yeah.
Why?
Because if you're a real from Christian, you would have a lot of problems if you started reading in the Torah about all these things which you're not keeping, right?
Also,
you're not keeping Shabbos. You're not keeping Shatnez. You're not you're not keeping Kashrus. You're not keeping the laws of Arias. You're not doing Shulach HaKen. You know, there's lots of stuff you're not doing, right?
Are you telling me that one billion Christians are not doing Edo?
What?
We don't do so many.
Yeah, but we hold them, right? We try.
Yeah, but I think we think about 1 billion Christians don't know what they're doing.
What?
1 million Christians don't know what they're doing.
The Christians don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
What do you mean they don't know what they're doing?
No, I mean like the Christian, but they're doing the Bible.
They believe in Bible, but
they're exempt from the mitzvahs.
They believe in Bible, and the Protestants are very big on reading the Bible. The Catholics are not big on reading the Bible. They have a catechism. The catechism is a
preaching
number of statements, like the Yigdal, you know, the 13 principles, which they recite.
Kaddish?
In a Catholic school, they don't. It's not like a Jewish school, which is where we teach half a day in Mudei Kodesh. They don't have any Mudei Kodesh.
What do they teach?
They teach regular public school education, just from a Catholic perspective. Because there's very little that...
Uniform, too.
What?
In a nice looking uniform.
Yeah. There's very little that a lay person in the Catholic Church is supposed to, or it's even considered advantageous for him or her to know. They should dive in a lot, say the catechism, go to church, everything will be fine. It's only the Protestants, and even they... to a very limited extent, who hold that there's an advantage of going and reading the Bible. But beyond the Bible, even the Protestants, there's not really much you have to know.
Yeah,
only Judaism which has this...
But you have the philosopher there. How can you explain?
What do you mean?
Yeah, I know
there are a few, but not the lay, they're the elite. The lay person doesn't have
Catholic Church, they had university.
Of course, but the universities were mostly for the secular subjects. Today, the Catholic universities, there's nothing Catholic about them except the name.
Yeah.
The people who go around with those cards and they go beaming around, like about the Yashka and about, you know, they had a whole bunch of different things. Usually it's around face-up time. But the question is, do these guys know what they're talking about with Nas? Do they know Nas better than us, or they're just saying things?
No, they've been trained.
Yeah, they don't
know.
So
as soon as you ask the question,
they've been trained.
If you ask a question, they know, and you...
If you know the Hebrew, you can demonstrate to them that they don't know. Well, you can't demonstrate, they won't listen to you, but you can tell them that they're wrong.
It's better to not talk to them.
That was the thing.
Since they've been programmed, it's better not to talk to them. But I have a Rebbe. When he was a little kid in camp in the Catskills, he once got a ride with some fundamentalist Christians. He hitched a ride. And they were asking him all sorts of questions about Judaism and all sorts of questions about Tanakh. And he realized, to his deep embarrassment, that they knew Tanakh much better than he did. So therefore he made a project as a result to learn Tanakh afterwards. Because being in Shiva, we sit in Gemara all day. We don't learn Navi. So therefore it's kind of embarrassing.
Them at all, really.
What? Yeah.
No, we don't come to Russia. You know, you see the Protestants, like they have these things, like, you know, like pointing this, like, you know, this thing, like, with smelling stuff.
Not the Protestants, Greek or the Russian Orthodox.
Aren't they Protestant?
No, they're their own, they're different.
Yeah, but this
they're a different group.
Because they wear the costumes.
Yeah,
Orthodox.
They're Russian Orthodox.
You know, like
they're from the Russians are Orthodox.
Yeah, they're from, but
they're not Protestants.
No, I'm saying, but they're quite close.
Protestants are anti-ritual. They don't believe in all these rituals. They don't dress up. They don't have smelling stuff. They don't have icons.
Oh, like Bush?
Yeah, Bush is a Protestant.
Ah, so but Rashomon, they're close to.
They're close to the Catholics.
What do you mean? That doesn't have these things.
There's a lot of ritual in there's a lot of ritual in Russian Orthodoxy. A lot of ritual in Catholic Christianity. There's very little ritual in Protestantism.
Oh,
do
you want the obligation to if you see a Jew who caught by one of the missionaries? Isn't there an obligation to? Try to
if you can't see, you can do something about it. Sometimes they'll just make it worse.
That's what they should for
them. There are certain people who are trained, trained is the right word, who have a special talent for it. Most of us, we just get into a shouting match and wouldn't get anywhere. So deprogramming is a very fine art. Now, the reason why we went through the Yosef Della Reina thing is because last night we mentioned about how Gidon was very chutzpahdik towards the Malach who came to him. You know, this is obviously, you can tell if the story is authentic. And again, I doubt that the version of the story which I read to you is authentic, even though it's very cool. But if it's authentic, you see a very basic difference between the time of the Tanakh and the time of the great Kabbalist, even the great Kabbalist in Tzfat. In the time of the Tanakh, a Malach comes to Gidon, he starts shouting at the Malach. Right? Says, Hashem Yimcha, right, where have you been all this? Where have I been all this time? But in the time of Yosef Della Reina, the Malachim come, and they fall frightened on their faces and are immobilized. So it's a very big, in the time of Tanakh, people were holier. Since people were holier, they didn't have that fear of a Malach, which a person would have today. Again, it's because we're so unholy that we have this problem. One second. So therefore, when Gidon, and Gidon doesn't even need Shemos of Hashem in order to bring about the redemption. Of course, he didn't try and bring out the full redemption, but he says to the mouth, no, let's go! What's happening here? He has a basic give and take without all the mystical incantations. The same thing with Choni Ma'agil in the Gemara, right? When he talks to God, he doesn't do mystical stuff. He just says, let's go, God. We need the rain. So they don't have to play the game, so to speak. You know, we talk many times about the game and how the rules of the game and how there's certain ways in which you can compel Hashem to do certain things, and therefore Hashem has to kind of head you out off at the pass, like he did with Migdal Bavel. Before they completed the tower, he mixed up their languages. So that is in essence, on a certain level, there's a comparison between what a Mekubal does and what they were doing. A Mekubal is using the system. And that's what Yosef Della Reina was doing. He was using the system. He was using the system which Hashem created against the will of Hashem, because it wasn't Hashem's will to bring the redemption, in order to compel Hashem to do something. So for that, in for Yosef Del Reina, there are all sorts of intricate patterns of behavior and concentrations and Yichudim and names of Hashem he had to mention. In the time of Tanakh, in the time of Shas, they didn't need these things. They just spoke directly and said, okay, let's go. Right? Yonavi, he asked for a fire to come down. At Mount Carmel. Elio and Elisha, they ask Hashem to be Mechayim Mason, to resurrect the dead kids. They didn't have to go through all the names and incantations, because names and incantations are a way of working the system when you're at a distance. But if you are tight with Hashem, then you don't need that.
Okay,
yeah.
But don't we have another regression that David Malki used, before he was Malki, used the name of Hashem?
Yeah, obviously it was when he was on the lower Madrega still. In other words, when somebody's on a high Madrega, they don't have to do those things.
You mentioned Chomi Amadi.
Yeah.
The question is that why when he made the circle and then one of the Tanayim said to, had you been a stranger, I would
have put you in Chayim.
The question is, what did he so fair? Why were they so against?
Because he was very brazen towards Hashem. It was a bad example, that's what he's saying. But, you know, his plans are tight. Shem ben Shetach was the one. So, what Reb Tzadik is Mechadish in Sivkas HaTzadik is that at the time just before Mashiach, then Chutzpah will work. And it will be a time when even regular people can be Chutzpahdik to Hashem. Now, nobody knows when this time is coming. And I'd be kind of cautious about this, but the idea is that, you know, when Lubavitch Rebbe, let's say, had the song, you know, "We Want Mashiach Now," right? Anybody ever hear the song "We Want Mashiach Now"?
Mashiach.
The Carbanion.
Thank you.
So this is in line with this voice of this idea of Reb Tzadik, that although throughout the years, and certainly the time of Yosef Del Reina, it was not time for Mashiach to come. Now that it's time for Mashiach to come, we can, so to speak, force God. God is waiting for us, so to speak, to force His hand.
But I thought that when Mashiach comes, it's chutzpah in general. Chutzpah.
Yeah, but so what the Gemara says is that it's chutzpah in general, and it's a negative. It's a negative. The Torah is trying to find the positive in that chutzpah. The Gemara says it's one of the curses of Ikvas of the Mashiach, there's going to be a lot of chutzpah. The Torah says, but it can't be for no reason. It's got to be a positive reason for it. Says this is the positive reason to compel Mashiach to come. Okay? So, any other questions?
How
about
the melody?
What?
How about the melody?
Amiso, have no fear, Mashiach will be here this year. Etc., etc.
Huh?
Yeah. That's what it's like. It's not a Chabad nigger.
can you
think of
something
that's
well-known nigga?
What?
If
it's
not any
of that. I don't think it's even a Jewish nigga. We used to sing in camp when we were kids. Campers, counselors, have no fear. There will be color war this year. So, yes.
So,
can
we explain what was the tower again?
The tower?
Yeah.
Above hell?
Oh, yeah.
It was a way in which they're going to compel Hashem to follow what they wanted.
I understand, but what's special about it?
You have to have been there, obviously.
I know. No, I mean,
I don't know.
But you gave a speech
what?
What happened?
You gave a speech last time.
Yes, but all we see is that they were able, we don't know what yichudim, what formulas, what shemos they were using, but obviously they had mystical ways of compelling Hashem.
But where? It was just destroyed.
Where? It came from Adam. They had Masorah.
It was just destroyed.
Yeah, so what?
Immediately it was destroyed, then selling, did they get everything back?
I assume that, you know, the main wisdom which they possessed, somehow Noah took aboard the ark, or they found it somehow. I don't know how, but obviously we have this a favorite theory attributed to Adam. So must have somehow survived the flood, and that's just one example.
So you're saying Papa just
read. By the way, other people survived the flood besides Noah and his family.
What does that mean?
Og. If not Og, right?
I know Og, because he's not
Yeah, so there are probably others as well.
What?
No, because it says Eretz Yisrael was not flooded. And but it says that the bad air from the flood killed everybody in Eretz Yisrael. But the point is that we don't know where the flood went outside of the known civilized world at that time. It was, when it says that it was all over the land, it means all over the land in Asia, and that in Africa, in that area. But we don't say, it doesn't necessarily in America.
So what about this, you know, this problem?
The Indians, yeah, right.
About this problem with Egypt, right?
Yeah.
Would it help for this, or no?
But Egypt, it doesn't. It only helps if you assume that they left for the period of the flood and they came back very quickly afterwards.
It was for the day. It wasn't a big deal.
What?
It was
a year. It was 4 years. It was raining, but it was a year. It's possible. It's possible to resolve that.
How is it possible? It says that Hashem destroyed the whole world and he took a note and destroyed the world again.
I don't think it says the whole world. It says Vayimach was Kol Yekum, I think. Doesn't it say that?
Yeah, the way it's such a mention. Can we say that maybe the reason for the fact that actually God gave the non-Indians who came here to take from the land from the Indians, because the Indians were actually idolatrous, and they were, and the Americans, the white people, they were much more leaning to a more modern season.
It could be.
Kind of thing.
Could be. That's the son of his father.
Oh, that's the towel of Bobo.
Let me tell it. Yeah. It says, Vayimach es kol yichum asher apnei adama. And he blotted out all existence. It says here in the article, but Yikum really means here. The uncle doesn't even translate it; just leaves it Yikuma. So the question is exactly what Yikum is that Hashem erased. Yes, it says there's water all over the land, but when it says Vayimach, it specifically calls Yikum. Look, I'm not saying that anybody else. I'm not saying that one has to say that anybody else survived. And it's quite possible the Mabul was all over the world. But I'm saying we don't know. Possible also on the other hand that it wasn't, and that it was a major flood which destroyed all of the civilization which existed at that time, which is the concern of the Chumash.
Which counts down to how much?
A lot of people.
Billion?
No, I don't think so, not that many.
So what's the point of making an ark and then just bring to a place that would not get destroyed?
Well, it seems that in that entire area there was no place to go, and besides Hashem wanted. He could have made a mountain which is big enough for Noah anyway, right? But Hashem wanted to build that ark for 120 years.
And the animals?
What?
And the animals?
Same thing. Hashem could have saved them any which way. He dafka wanted Noah to have that skus of saving the world.
There's a verse that says that Eretz Yisrael is not flooded.
Yeah, but it says there in that Gemara 12. Gemara says that there was bad air even in Eretz Yisrael, even though it was not flooded. People died from the bad air, yeah.
Are
the oaks
alive?
It says he hung onto the table.
Does that help?
It's not necessarily kibshut though. It might
what?
Be some other
thing.
He hung onto the ark.
Why wouldn't the bad air kill the people in the ark?
Well, the ark obviously had some. It's miraculous, that's for sure. But the ark obviously had this miracle attached to Hashem and Hashgacha.
But the world was
that's the world
of
the night.
No, but the ark
was
not in
that. Like that? What?
The water was fine.
Yeah, but he's saying if there's bad air on the side of the waters. So there should be bad air on top of the waters, too. You know, that's where the waters are, right?
It's not water was hot, Rabbi. It's boiling hot.
Can the Gemara's Vachem? Is the Gemara's Vachem again? Or they took the whole Gemara's out?
No,
yeah.
Rabbi,
you
hear what I'm saying? Maybe they broke some air conditioning.
No, I don't hear what you're saying.
The water was boiling hot. How do you survive?
Right, I don't know if it's being taken literally that oak survived by hanging onto the table. It could be that it's a metaphor, and that it was some other way to survive.
There were three giants that survived, right? What did you just say?
No, I think just the oak, no?
So what about his two brothers? Where did they come from?
No, because...
Sihon.
I know, I think Sihon's from later on.
Oh, but he's his brother, though.
He was? I don't know.
I
don't remember that. You might be right, I just don't remember.
Brother
and Klein. They were born then, they could have been born after the Marvel.
Yeah.
Isn't it an opinion that it's not really Og at that time of the word? It's like a descendant of Og.
It could be anything.
Yeah, he lived until, wow, he lived a very long time, because he lived until Moshe.
I don't know, right?
Yeah, here's the Gemara. The Gemara says, so what is Machlokes that the Mabul came to Eretz Yisrael or not? So the question is, according to those who hold the Mabul didn't come to Eretz Yisrael, why did they die? Why do people die there? So one assumes they died Mishum Havel, it says because of the bad air. And then the Gemara says later on, so there was this huge animal called the Re'em. And if you hold that the Mabul didn't go there, so the Re'em stayed there. It's interesting. So the bad air did not kill everything. Just killed human, certain human beings. But according to Mandomer, that the Mabul did come down there, so how did the Reim survive? So Biyana says they took Reim cubs in the table. So then the Gemara says that, even the cubs are too big. So Biyana says it put its head into the table.
So funny.
How big was he?
And the Gemara asked, wait a minute, but the table was moving? So the Gemara asked, they tied its horns to the table. And
what?
So then the Gemara says, wait a minute, the water was boiling. And besides that, what about Og? How did he survive? I guess they didn't let him into the table. So it says here, nays happened that the waters were cooled down on the side of the table.
Rabbi, is
that possible? The nace is the nace. Anyway, so obviously there's an opinion here that, at least the opinion that the Re'em was an Eretz Yisrael, didn't die as a result, that not everything was killed as a result of the Mabul. But Noach was called told to build the table as a lesson for mankind.
Wow.
That was the main reason for the table.
So the rain was supposed to wild ox.
What?
It was a wild ox.
The rain?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it seems that there's something else besides the Karne Reim Karnov of our, which says the Senate of Tillim, seems that there was this huge animal as well.
What's the problem when Shapiro says that a flood might have never occurred?
Because then the Tanakh are going.
It maybe just half the world got flooded, not all of the world.
Yeah, but he doesn't say that. No flood. No flood. If
no,
you say a localized, even a localized flood is okay.
Okay.
I mean, it's difficult. Even when I say it's difficult, but you can say that. But to say there's no flood, that's very bad.
Well, what are the Christian archaeologists say?
What?
What are the Christian archaeologists?
They all say, basically the archaeologists say that the archaeologists don't really speak about it. Anthropologists speak about it because you have in human culture, many cultures have this flood myth, not just Jewish culture. So therefore, from history, Gilgamesh, right? So therefore, history does indicate either that it did take place, or there was a great big conspiracy going on between all humankind. You know, unprecedented in the annals of history.
Unprecedented collaboration.
Yeah.
So about Tara Bavel. So it says that Hashem scattered all the nations by changing their languages. But what is it? Doesn't say anything about what actually happened to the tower that they almost finished or whatever it was.
Right. It seems that they didn't almost finish it. It seems it was not very high when it was destroyed. We don't know how high they were going to build. It fell into ruins. They used to know where it was. The time of Gemara, they knew where it was still. They might be even past there. You have to look it up in Wikipedia. But the Tower of Babel, by our standards, it probably wasn't going to be very tall. It didn't have to be very tall because it was just being used as a springboard for their magic. So it wasn't like it had to be like the Empire State Building, right? Cause a little bit higher than Earth's Amir.
Do they have that book that was passed down to other religions?
A Sefer Yetzirah.
Sefer Yetzirah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Who would pass down something to Adam or Rishon?
From Adam.
Oh,
from Adam.
He's thinking that they are.
Yes.
Okay, let's see you tomorrow night.
Wait.
There's a letter back there.